Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week we wish Radio 5 Live a very happy 30th birthday. The station started on the 28th of March 1994, and they're going to be celebrating this milestone with a series of events and projects throughout the year. To find out more about what makes 5 Live work so well, I chatted with journalist and 5 Live broadcaster Gordon Smart, along with the station's managing editor, Julie Cullen, who was in a busy office in Salford. And I kicked off by asking her how 5 Live has changed over the last 30 years.
Well, we were chatting about this with Ellie Aldroyd, who's one of our esteemed sports presenters and journalists, who's been here since the station launched. And I think there's been a real evolution. Obviously, journalism changed. Social media obviously plays a huge part in it. So we have to go to where our audiences are. We have a real presence on social media, digital presence. Podcasts are a big part of what we do now, so that we can reach a different audience beyond that BBC heartland audience. And I think it's really exciting the way it's opened up. I think when I first joined the BBC, I joined as a regional news trainee, and it was a bit like My Fair Lady. I was taught to change my vowel sounds so that I wouldn't talk about open top buses in Bath. They would be open top buses in Bath. That doesn't happen anymore. We're very proud to have a range of accents and represent every nation at 5 Live. I think it really is the voice of the UK, and I think Gordon's a big part of that.
Gordon, I know you've always been a big fan of the station. Is it true you used to go to sleep with it on?
I did go to sleep with it on, yeah, when I was at university. And then, yeah, over the years as well, I like to sleep with the radio on in the background. And also when I worked in Scotland, there was a spell where I was commuting every day for about an hour and 15 minutes to Glasgow, there and back. So I'd go in the morning and have Victoria Derbyshire on. And then on the way home, I'd listen. I remember specifically listening to the Monday Night Club and feeling like I was part of that family. And it feels like a great companion to me. It always has been. And I remember Peter Allen, Victoria Derbyshire, you know, I'm a big fan of Tony Livesey. I tell you, the female presenting staff, Ellie Aldroyd, who Julie mentioned as well. It was a real privilege to work with Ellie. I just think she's incredible. And then to work with Rachel Burden, Claire McDonald, you know, the strength and depth across the station is mind-boggling, and it's great to work with proper journalists. You know, I did a bit of a break from being a journalist, proper journalist, and it was really inspirational to be back in the company of great operators again recently.
And your Sunday night show comes from Glasgow, doesn't it?
Right,
I know,
yeah.
Monday to Thursday you're in Salford, but you're at Pacific Quay in Glasgow on Sunday. Tell me how important that is to you, that at least one of your shows a week comes from Scotland.
Well, actually, it's I do Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. Some weeks I do 3-4, sometimes I do 5 nights a week from Scotland. And the guys have been so incredibly flexible to help work around my mad life, you know, and it's great. I feel really privileged to do 5 Live from Glasgow. And I know the team that work in Scotland feel the same, you know, because a lot of the guys work in BBC Scotland during the day or elsewhere on the network or on TV. So for me, it's something I'm incredibly proud of. I love having a regional accent. I get very frustrated that there are fewer, or it feels to me like fewer Scottish accents on radio and TV. So to fly the flag, I mean, I sometimes probably do play up on it a wee bit too much, the Scottishness, but it's great. And again, I think one thing I've noticed about 5 Live is that family often comes first, and anybody who needs to be near the family, there will be, you know, special arrangements for them, and that just makes you want to work there even more.
Julie, I know it's important to 5 Live as an ethos that you do touch every part of the UK. I believe that's part of your 30th birthday plans, isn't it? Tell me about that.
Well, we always plan to be across the whole of the UK. I mean, if you look at some of the voices, the newer voices that we've introduced to the network, somebody like Rima Ahmed, who's a BBC Radio Leeds presenter, who is a brilliant new talent to us. She's been representing recently. And somebody like Stefan Powell, who came to us from Newsbeat, who's Welsh. I mean, I don't want to sort of name these people as if it's tokenistic. It's not at all. They're all brilliant in their own right at doing very different things. But when there's a story, for example, the forthcoming general election or the local elections, our reporters and presenters are always out amongst people to get the real kind of slice of life of how people are reacting to the politics and the stories of the day. And we get that kind of slice of life every day on Nikki Campbell's phone-in, Your Call, which is 2 hours of people telling us what's important to them and how they're reacting to the news of the day. So we're always good at kind of taking the temperature of how news stories are going down with the general public.
Gordon, that's something I know that you're passionate about as well, isn't it? And the whole of Five Live, the audience are very central to what you do. And all the presenters say, you can contact us, you can phone us, and you need the audience as much as they need you. Tell me about how important the audience are for you, Gordon.
Well, on my shows now, working late in the evening, it's such an intimate connection, isn't it, with people, particularly at that time of night. You know, there's a lot of loneliness in the country at the moment. We often discuss it on air. And I think having that companion and that friendship and a voice that maybe you find familiar or friendly or helpful or encouraging or informing, I think that's a real responsibility. And I don't think anybody takes it for granted. I think the one central pillar of every presenter I've met at the station and all the journalists behind the scenes is that it is about that connection with the audience. And all those features that we do are nothing without the input and support of the great people who listen, because they often provide the best, most entertaining, engaging content, don't they, with the funniest stories. And, you know, that, again, is never taken for granted. It's such a special thing. And, you know, I found it really heartwarming recently just hearing those stories and getting to know people and seeing regular names popping up and having lovely feedback from people that you were there for them at a time that might have been difficult, or, you know, a pregnant woman who are about to give birth who are trying to take their mind off what's going on, or just amazing stories anecdotally. You know, I went to a thing recently at the local school. It was like a sort of community fair, and they were talking about some people were coming up saying, I heard you talking about this the other day and you mentioned that and I remember them and I love that thing you did and we love the musicologist and what are you doing next? And that just makes it feel so rewarding, and yeah, it reminds me why we turn up every day.
Good morning. Welcome to a new network, Radio 5 Live, news and sport from the BBC, 24 hours a day. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, the 28th of March. I'm Jane Garvey, and this is Morning Reports.
Good morning. I'm Peter Allen. It's Monday. It's 6 o'clock. These are the headlines.
You're listening to Roscoe on 5. This is the new way to spend your afternoon. It's great to be here on day one.
New network, same format, live football commentary, and neither of tonight's combatants have won a league game since New Year's Day. I'm John Champion, and this is Champion Sport.
And welcome to Five Live's first football commentary, and as we put on our new kit, we await tonight's match.
I think that's an indication of the tone of Five Live. You are news, you are sport, but it's less formal than, say, something like Radio 4. Julie, how do you go about setting the tone of the whole station?
Well, that's about a number of things. It's about the presenters that make up the lineup and where they come from and, you know, their kind of life stories and life experiences. I mean, look at somebody like Nagamon Chetty, who is obviously huge, high-profile breakfast television presenter, came to join us at Five Live and has really championed the whole women's health issue and really revealed stories about herself that are deeply personal, because she feels like she's in safe hands with her production team, but also because she can't expect the listeners to open up to her if she doesn't share her own experiences. And it's been revelatory. I mean, I love the fact that those stories are happening and are hugely successful on a network like Five Live, because for a long time it was seen as being a kind of male-dominated sport and news network. I mean, maybe 30 years ago, but it's certainly evolved since then. You look at some of the, as Gordon said, some of the amazing women that are presenting on the network now, and it's inspirational to me, you know, and to lots of women that tune in. We know a lot of our listeners are women because they come on air and they tell us their stories. I mean, just today when Nikki was doing a phone-in about your experiences of living with cancer and talking to your children about it, you know, it is mainly women that are calling in on subjects like that. It defies the stereotype, really, I think, as a network.
And I believe also you have more audience that listen digitally than on any other BBC station. Is that a conscious thing, or does that just happen because of the way you are?
I think we've always been on the front foot. caught with digital, you know, and Five Live was one of the first networks to have its own digital team, because our kind of passion is to reach those audiences that wouldn't typically see themselves as BBC audiences. And whether that means reaching them via social media or via podcasts, we want to put those, this brilliant content that we make every day, in front of as many people as possible. We want to use every platform possible to get it out there and share it with people, and for it to be a two-way street, for them to be able to come back to us and tell us what they think of it. And they certainly do that.
You mentioned sport, Gordon. I know sport, especially on Sunday, well, it's a combination, really. It's sport, it's entertainment, it's news, you've got your features, but I know you do love your sport as well. That is a huge part of Five Live, isn't it?
It's massive. Yeah, it's absolutely massive. Integral to the whole operation. But I'm glad you mentioned it, because this is my chance to lobby Julie to do more sport. one of the highlights of my year was getting the chance to do the Scotland-Norway game with Pat Nevin and Alistair Bruce Ball. And, you know, I'm a secret super fan of Ali Bruce Ball, John Murray, Ian Dennis. Those guys are absolutely mind-blowingly brilliant at their jobs. And I listen, when I'm always listening to Five Live and the commentary they do, and it never ceases to amaze me the depth of their knowledge and their enthusiasm for the game. You never catch them on a bad day. And I think that's just something to respect. You know, I always think that when I go on air, regardless of how upset you are in your personal life or what you've got going on, you have a duty to perform and deliver. And those boys set the standard, and girls set the standard so high. And again, it's that strength in the commentary teams across Formula One, across tennis, across all these sports. The breadth's mind-blowing. Again, I know I keep saying it, but yeah, I mean, I love being on the radio, and I think of myself as an all-rounder, if you want to use a cricket analogy. I'm interested in everything, but sport's really the thing that I find so enjoyable. I just love Steve Crossman chatting to Neda Anua, for instance. You know, I love hearing those conversations, and the depth of thinking as well. You know, like, football punditry sometimes gets a bit of a slagging because it can be quite superficial, or you know, a bit of a lads club, but not when I'm listening to the guys in the Monday Night Club. I hear really good analysis and in-depth chat. I mean, maybe Robbie Savage could do a bit better, but you know. I feel the same about his football
career. You
know,
he'll hear this, don't you?
And that's why I'm doing it. That's why I said it.
That's why you said it.
Chris Sutton paid me 20 quid to get that in.
Oh my God. Oh, I do love the beefs. I do love the beefs. It does make me laugh. It's like when Rick Edwards was out in Qatar for the World Cup, and the kind of mini beefs that started with the sport commentary team out there. It's all part of the fact that everyone is working, like, giving 100% all the time. Everyone's passionate about what they do. And there is an awful lot of respect between the teams, between news and sport teams. They work hand in hand, which is really progressive. It really is a brilliant place to work.
It is a massive year for sport. I mean, it's often a massive year for sport, but it's a particularly massive year for sport coming up. We've got the Olympics, we've got the Euros. How far ahead would you plan for these big sporting events?
Well, I think we started to plan last November. So that's nearly a full year. I mean, probably even before that for the sports teams, because you need to, obviously, something like the Olympics, you need to book hotels, travel, block out people's schedules. One of the sports teams was taking me through Kelly Kate's schedule for the Euros, and it's so impressive. It's like, does she not want to take a break? And it's like, why does she want to take a break? She loves it. And obviously we have to build breaks in for her, but she would work as much as she could, because she's doing something that she's passionate about. I think a lot of us feel really lucky to work here. And, you know, I read Ellie Aldroyd's blog today that she's written for the 30th anniversary. And she said, it's my dream job. This is her 13th Olympics in Paris. And some of the stories that she can tell you about having been at some of those kind of moments that you'll remember for the rest of your life, and having been there to witness history. It's a real privilege to be broadcasting from those kind of events.
All the time you've got the domestic sport going on as well. I mean, it's a huge operation. Like Gordon said, it's not just football. When people think of Five Live, they do think of football commentary, but you are doing everything. So whilst the Euros are going on, there'll be Wimbledon as well. Then we'll hit the Olympics. There'll be cricket. There'll be test matches. I mean, this is a huge logistical operation? What kind of size of team have you got working just on the logistics of those sports?
It's remarkably small, Georgie. Yeah. Remarkably small. It's a lot of very, very talented people that hold an awful lot of information, and that they're just the best in the business at organising things and organising people and how to get equipment out to people, how to build a studio in a hotel room, or how to broadcast from the most impenetrable cubbyhole that you'll find. There's just a determination to get yourself and get your presenter on air, and to have them in the spot where they need to be to see the story, to tell the listener about what's happening. It isn't about there being teams and teams of people to do this. It's about having the kind of finest minds in the business to do it, really.
You recently spoke at our Radio Academy for In the Door event at Glasgow, and that was for people who want to get into the radio and audio industry. What was the best piece of career advice you've ever been given for getting into radio?
For getting into radio, that's an interesting one, because I'd had a slightly unconventional route in that I was a newspaper guy, wasn't I? Just work harder than everybody else was actually something that was said to me by somebody in newspapers. And I think it translates into radio. You know, if you're offered a chance and a shift to present on a brilliant radio station at Five Live, don't say, oh, I've got something else on that day. You say, yes, I'll do it. I'll be there on time and I'll give you my very best. And I really, you know, it's been hard the last 18 months, picking up shifts at all round the clock, you know, trying to do things, dropping stuff at short notice. But it works out. You know, if you put that shift in, people acknowledge that you work hard and you're prepared to do some of the difficult stuff and do the Christmas shift, for instance. You know, I'm nearly 44 years old, and I really thought by now I might not be working over Christmas. and here I am, you know. But at the same time, the minute that we're in and we're working together and we're doing our job, I'm really happy and I love it. And it doesn't feel, I shouldn't say this in front of Julie, but sometimes it doesn't feel like work to me. It feels like a massive privilege in the company of fascinating people who are bringing insight. You know, one of the things I was going to say is that I realise sometimes in conversation that I know loads of stuff. I know loads of stuff because I'm working with people who brief me on all of these complicated subjects. You know, I think I could give you a good 20 paragraphs on nearly every subject in the world, from Houthi rebels all the way through to foot golf in the Irish West Country. You know, it's an amazingly versatile and rich in information place to work, and that just makes me feel grateful. So yeah, being interested, inquisitive, working all the shifts that nobody wants to be, but that is ultimately what it boils down to, working really hard.
Where are the next generation of Five Live presenters going to come from?
Well, we're busy working with a lot of the next generation of Five Live presenters. We've got a kind of unofficial presenter development scheme where we bring a lot of new voices through. And rather than kind of chuck people on air and let them sink or swim, we have a sort of mentorship where people will come in, they'll shadow a show, they'll learn from the presenter that's in and the production team about how the show's put together. And it's a gradual process. But we are bringing lots of new voices through, and we find a lot of those voices in local radio, but also in places like One Extra and Asian Network, because they're brilliant at bringing new talent through as well. And we need a range of voices and a range of life experiences, but we're constantly looking for people who are passionate about news and sport. You have to be passionate about journalism, and you've got to know your sport, because you'll soon be found out if you don't.
What's the future for Five Live? Where do you see yourself in another 30 years?
Wow.
I'll be doing the Christmas shift, probably.
You'll be on at Christmas. You and me
both.
Let's
hope so. Honestly, 30 years is too much. You know, that's one of those where you sort of imagine you'll all be on wearing spacesuits and carrying your own oxygen mask around with you. Who would have predicted that you would be talking to a speaker in the corner of a room and asking it to play you BBC Radio 5 Live, even 10 years ago? So the rate of technology, a technological change, is kind of mind-blowing. I would hate to predict where we'll be in 30 years' time. I would say we're going to be doing a lot more podcasts. You know, just recently we launched Miss Me with Lily Allen and Makita Oliver, which even a couple of years ago you wouldn't think that that would be a Five Live podcast, but the range of podcasts that we've got now is huge. And it is just about people that want to be entertained. One of our biggest podcasts is the Martin Lewis podcast, which gives actual real life consumer advice to people. It's the one place that he does every single week without fail, because he started as a producer here, so he's passionate about Five Live. But then on the other end of the scale, you've got the Dua Lipa podcast or the John and Ellis podcast, which is huge. So it's really hard to try and predict what's going to happen in the next 12 months, let alone the next 30 years.
Thank you to Five Live's managing editor, Julie Cullen, and broadcaster, Gordon Smart, for joining me this week on the podcast. And happy 30th birthday to Radio 5 Live. Don't forget that tickets for the Arias are now on sale. The ceremony is on the 7th of May, so get that date in your diary and head to radioacademy.org, where you'll see the link to book your tickets. And also remember that if you subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast wherever you listen, then you'll never miss an episode. Next week, the rest is how you have hugely successful podcasts, when I chat with Tony Pastor, one of the founders of Goal Hanger Podcasts. I'll see you then.